This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton is a local historian, author, award-winning author, and you can check him out online at rickbritton.com, and he joins us on Friday afternoons to talk a little history. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Fun Friday.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, fun Friday. I'm doing pretty good. Had kind of a head cold. You have too, huh?
I have a cold, and I know where I got it. They are 7 years old, both of them. My kids both have a cold, and I knew when I saw it. Because I get, boy, all they got to do is sniffle, and I look at my watch, and I start counting, because within 24 hours, I got it.
Oh, man.
And but that's all right. It won't last long. So, you know.
There you go.
This is the perfect weather to have a cold in.
Why is it perfect?
Because it's sort of nasty, you know?
It is.
It's worse when it's real sunny and warm. Isn't it cold worse when it's like in the middle of a summer day?
Okay, I'm with you.
It's easier to have a cold when it's sort of wet and rainy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You hear us talking about healthcare? What do you think about healthcare?
Really busy.
You going to the town hall meetings and screaming and yelling?
No, I haven't been doing any screaming and yelling. You know, I really don't. I haven't looked at it closely enough. I really don't feel like I know enough about it even to formulate an opinion. So I'm going to wait until somebody hands me a piece of paper with a whole bunch of stuff on it, and then I'll study it.
Well, that's sort of like Tom Perriello saying, look, there's nothing final yet.
Right.
Everybody's still, they're still
right.
making
exactly.
sausage.
Exactly.
I don't have anything, I don't have an opinion about all this stuff because there's nothing to have an opinion about yet.
Right.
You know, it's just, there's so many ideas being bandied back and forth that there's no official thing to vote on yet.
Right.
So, but we'll see. I do hope something happens. I mean, I'm one of those people that thinks it could be better. And if it can be better, let's make it better.
Something has
you
to
know?
Happen. I'm one of those 47 million people. I went without any life insurance, any health insurance, probably about 15 years.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
Paid everything out of pocket.
Wow. Yeah. Cool, because you're a self-employed guy.
Yeah. It's tough if you're self-employed.
Yeah, well, especially in America where healthcare comes from your employer. Yeah,
That's
if you're
right.
an entrepreneur and, you know, want to make your own way, it's doubly hard on you.
That's right. That's right.
So what's going on?
Well, listen, I wanted to tell everybody there's a great article. It's the cover story in the latest Hook, so I encourage everybody to go out and pick it up. And Hawes is going to be here in a few minutes, right?
Yes, indeed.
It's a great story. It's about the death of Meriwether Lewis 200 years ago in 1809. And in one sense, it kind of, you know, there's a big argument, and hopefully we're going to find out soon. Hopefully they'll exhume the body soon, and they can do some tests on him. The family really wants to have him dug up and have some testing done on what's left of Meriwether Lewis.
We had that author on this program a
you
few
did.
Weeks ago.
You did, and I heard
Kira
that.
Kira Gale.
Yeah, Kira
she
Gale.
She wrote a book saying that she thought he was murdered.
Exactly, and a lot of people believe he is murdered. I did some searching in this a few years back. I wrote an article about it, and so I've read into some of the primary documents, and I'm convinced it was a suicide. And
really?
So this article, yeah. But it'll be interesting to
is
see
there any
what
one
happens.
Thing that convinces
oh,
you?
Oh, absolutely. I got a whole,
she made a pretty strong case.
I got a whole list. For example, number one, Jefferson, when he heard that Meriwether Lewis, and at the time it was reported that he was a suicide, Jefferson wasn't all that surprised. And if you read what Jefferson wrote, if you read between the lines, he's almost saying, yeah, I kind of knew. Meriwether Lewis at the time was one of those guys who had a quote-unquote dark personality. So people knew that he had some kind of problem. Of course, they didn't use terms like manic depressive or things like that in those days. But Meriwether Lewis had a problem. And a lot of people believe that it didn't manifest itself during the expedition because he's just too busy. You know, you get people and you put them out on, you know, an exciting adventures like that, and you got to be on top of it every day. And because you have to, you just do it.
Yeah.
And you don't fall into depression.
Your brain chemistry is different when you're in that state. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it didn't manifest itself. Now, as soon as he became governor and all of a sudden he's got some extra time, he started self-medicating again with alcohol. Now, there are the stories of his trip. And in 1809... he was coming back to Washington because a lot of his expenditures were being questioned, and he was being attacked by the man in the army who handled that kind of stuff about expenditures. And he felt like he had to come back and defend himself. Now, there are the stories that were written, part of the testimony, by the, I believe it's the captain of the ship that was transporting him down the Mississippi, that he tried to commit suicide twice on the vessel. Then the one that really convinced me, actually, is the testimony of Mrs. Grinder. Now, Meriwether Lewis
she owned
died,
the hotel that he was at, right?
Yeah, died at Grinder's Stand, and that was a little way stop, a little wayside tavern on the Natchez Trace. He was on the way to Nashville, Tennessee, and eventually to Washington, D.C., and he died there. She put him up. Mr. Grinder wasn't there, so Mrs. Grinder was taking care of business by herself. There were a number of buildings. She gave him a room in a cottage that was away from her her house, and it's pictured in the article. A reconstruction of it is pictured in the article in The Hook, and I encourage everybody to read it. It's really well done. A lot of information in it, too. She heard a couple of shots, and then, according to Mrs. Grinder, Meriwether Lewis crawled across the connecting yard. It had a bunch of stumps in it. He crawled across the stumps. He scratched at her door. She came to the door, and she was terribly frightened because he was just a mess. And one of the things that he told her was, "It is so hard to die." Now, to me, those are the words of a man trying to kill himself. Now, one of the things that's in the article, he was dug up in 1848 by a commission because they wanted to make sure that indeed it was Meriwether Lewis under that monument that they erected at Grinder Stand, which is now an NPS site. It's a National Park Service site. They dug him up, and according to the article, the commission wrote that they were pretty sure that this body of Meriwether Lewis, that the death was the work of an assassin. Well, evidently, he also cut himself up with a razor. So he was hard at work, I believe, trying to kill himself. He shot himself twice, once in the head first, and once in the body. That wasn't enough. And then he cut himself up with a razor. Now, in the story, in The Hook, the writer talks about the fact that he shot himself with a 69 caliber pistol, and of course 69 caliber is a huge ball, and shot himself in the head first, and they use that, the writer uses that as one of the evidence that, well, gosh, the guy had to have been murdered, because who gets shot twice? Who shoots himself twice? But there's lots of possibilities that he could have had the angle wrong when he was trying to shoot himself in the head. He could have been drunk, had the angle wrong, and so the ball just glanced off the head. Could be that the powder, it wasn't loaded properly, or it was underloaded, so there wasn't enough power
behind the ball. You think if they dig him up today, like the family wants to do, that this question would be solved once and for all?
I think they might find, like, for example, that it's just a skull fracture. You know, in other words, it's a glancing shot off the skull, and that's why he felt like he had to shoot himself again. I think they might be able to get some stuff, some bone fragments
will
be there. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
We certainly have a lot of better death scientists, those folks.
Forensic scientists
now than they did in 1840. So I think
we could
learn a lot more from what's under there if they dig them up. What's in the way now of digging it up? Like, who's saying no, you can't?
The National Park Service. I mean, you can imagine there's a lot of red tape. Because he's on
with
national
the federal government?
Property.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
With Washington?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Lots of red tape.
That's where they make the red tape.
They make it, yeah.
We are talking with Rick Britton, local author and historian, and he will be teaching a new course coming up, Tales of the University, and this is through the Senior Center. You can learn more at 974-6538, seniorcenterinc.org. This starts when?
This starts this coming Thursday. Thursday, September 3rd, and it'll
be every
Thursday, yeah, less than
Next
a week,
week
away, yep, and every Thursday in September, and the first two in October, so we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Of course, the founding, we got to get the school founded first, and then we're going to talk about some of the famous people who have come to either visit or have been around for a while, like the Marquis de Lafayette, James Madison, Edgar Allan Poe, John Singleton Mosby, John Hartwell Cock, a few famous names, Jimmy McConnell, Walter Reed, the conqueror of yellow fever. And so in honor of this this class, I brought a UVA history quiz.
Ooh, good stuff.
Yeah.
So let's play a little quiz. 977-1070. Everybody who plays wins, and everybody gets pizza from Papa John's. So
all right.
Give us a call at 977-1070. If you want to play, actually, before we start, Margo has a question for you. Hey, Margo, happy Friday.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Very good. You go right ahead.
Okay. The original site of the University of Virginia, originally it was called Albemarle Academy.
Right.
Where was the original site of that building?
Well, we actually don't believe there was anything aside from paperwork for Albemarle Academy.
That was just
Academy.
An idea, wasn't it?
It never got beyond the paper stage.
Oh.
So there was no
And Albemarle
structure.
Academy, the idea then, it wasn't really a college.
No.
In the beginning, it was more like what we would think of as a high school.
Absolutely.
Well, then they changed the name to, what was it?
Central College. Right. Right.
Oh, okay. So,
there was no structure, Albemarle Academy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Margo, hang on. You can play the quiz and do the first question, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna.
So I get to ask you a question.
Let's play a little game show here with Rick Britton. And Margo, enter and sign in, please. All right. What's the first question?
Margo, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. True or false? All of the University of Virginia structures designed by Thomas Jefferson still stand.
Ooh,
true or false?
That's a good question. Every University of Virginia building designed by Thomas Jefferson still stands.
Is that true or is
true
that false?
True or false?
Ooh.
You can do it.
50-50 false? Chance. False. Good job. Good job.
That's right. What's missing? Margo, do you know what's missing?
Not the rotunda. It didn't.
No.
That's still there.
No, the structure still stands.
Archways or?
No, there's a whole building that he designed and
entire
built.
Entire structure. And they had to demolish it to build Alderman Library.
I don't know them.
It was the anatomical theater.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's where they dissected the bodies for the medical students.
Lovely.
Right.
And there's lots of pictures that survive. They tore it down in 1938, right after they built Alderman Library, because they said it was an old, nasty building that marred the beauty of the new library.
Yeah.
So.
Might have smelled, too, actually.
Probably,
it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Margo, hold on. You're the big winner. You get some free pizza, and you have a great weekend. Hold on just a minute.
Thank you.
Leon will hook you up with... all the goodies there, and let's go to caller number 2 on the line. Caller, what's your first name?
Howard.
Hey, Howard, happy Friday.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Very good. Hang on, Rick Britton's got a question for you.
You ready, Howard?
Lay it on me, brother.
Okay. The University of Virginia opened its doors for business in what year? Was it A, 1819? Was it B, 1825? Was it C, 1836?
I'm going to go with, I'm torn between A and B, but I'm going to go with B.
Good job. Absolutely right.
It was created in 1819 and then opened in 1825.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Good deal. Yeah, you're very smart. Way to go. All right, hold on just a minute. And Leon's going to hook you up with some free pizza on line 2. We got a line open if you want to play the quiz. We're talking UVA history with Rick Britton. It's 977-1070. What is question number 3?
You ready for question number 3?
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? Edgar Allan Poe was expelled from the University of Virginia.
That's a good question.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know,
That's tricky.
I heard somebody say, well, I mean, I shouldn't say, but here's the question. True or false? Edgar Allan Poe was expelled from the University of Virginia.
Let's go to line 1. Call to your first name, please.
That's true.
Who is this?
Oh, Zelda.
Delva? All right. You want to try that again?
Okay. I say that's true.
You want to try it again?
Try it one more time.
False.
Yeah, it's false. It's false.
It's false. Everybody thinks he got kicked out, but...
And it's funny. Even to this day, and I was about to sort of give it away, even to this day, just a little while ago, I was taking a tour, and the tour guide said, it was not at the University of Virginia, though, but the tour guide said that Edgar Allan Poe had been expelled from the university, and he had not. It was a story that was perpetrated by his first biographer, Rufus Griswold, who was actually very, very jealous of Edgar Allan Poe's writing ability. And so if it goes into the first biography, a lot of folks, of course, naturally copied it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the 1870s that people said, wait a minute, let's take a look at the record. And they discovered, lo and behold, he was a great student at the university, did really well.
And his dad pulled him out.
That's right.
Said, come on up, because he had too many gambling debts.
His foster father,
in Richmond.
Yeah, right.
Well, hold on just a minute on line 1, and we'll hook you up with some free pizza, and we'll go to line 2. Call your first name, please. Hello. Caller, you there? Oh. Nope, we lost you. We got a line open at 977-1070 if you want to play it a little quiz. We're talking UVA history. What is question number four?
You ready for question number four?
Yes, fire away.
Okay. True or false? Union cavalry. Union cavalrymen during the Civil War under George Armstrong Custer set fire to the University of Virginia.
All righty, let's go to the phones. Caller, your first name, please.
Nancy.
Nancy, how are you today, darling?
I'm pretty good. How are you all?
Very good. Happy Friday. Now, Rick's going to read the question again for you. Hold on.
Nancy, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. True or false? Union cavalrymen in the Civil War under George Armstrong Custer set fire to the University of Virginia.
Oh, gosh. False?
False. Good job. Good job.
They did not burn it.
They did not burn it. Right.
Yeah.
Any part of it. Right.
There you go. It was saved. Nancy, hold on just a minute, and we're going to hook you up with some free pizza. She's on line two, Leon, and she wins some free pizza. You know, I was thinking about... Go ahead.
Now, people were worried that Custer's men were going to set fire to the University of Virginia.
Absolutely.
But they did not.
Terrified, because they had torched VMI in Lexington.
They had torched VMI.
To what extent was that... Was it totally burned down?
That main structure was burned down. That's right. And what was even worse is the library of the president was also burned for no reason, but it's not, the title isn't president. What would it be at VMI?
Commandant?
Yeah, commandant. His library was destroyed. Like, for what purpose? Yeah. What purpose did that serve?
But that was in retaliation because their students had fought and were fighting with the Confederacy.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because this was after the Bloody Shoes, Battle of Bloody Shoes, right?
Yeah, this was after the Battle of Newmarket. That was May 15th, 1864. So, yeah, this was afterwards.
Yeah, you go. I was thinking about Poe. I dug up when I was doing my UVA history research.
You dug up Poe?
I dug up a letter by a university student who had been here when Poe was here, and he wrote about the fact that Poe, when he first got to the university, actually lived on the lawn with another student, but they didn't get along. It ended up in a fist fight. And they said they both sort of, it was a draw, but thereafter they both decided that they wouldn't have a roommate, and that's how Poe ended up on West Range living by himself.
That is so amazing that you bring that up, because just yesterday I called down to Special Collections, and one of the librarians down there, Ann Southwell, she dug up that account to me, and she just read that to me over the telephone just yesterday. That's by Miles George of Richmond, and... Later on, another student wrote in an 1880 University of Virginia magazine that story was not true.
Really?
That story gained popularity at that time, but that there hadn't been fisticuffs, and that Miles George actually had lived across the lawn at the East Lawn, but that Poe was living on the West Lawn, but they'd always been amicable.
I wonder how those stories kind of get started.
Once somebody becomes famous, people, you know, didn't you get into a fisticuffs with him, with Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah. I kicked his butt, yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Britton online at rickbritton.com. Check out his History of the University class at the Senior Center, 974-6538. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.